the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Batella, and every week we bring you cutting-edge health education and information and news about natural nutrition. Hey, Martin, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Awesome.
I am just so ready to delve into this new direction we have decided to take for our podcast.
That's right. Well, the Life Enthusiast Co-op website is such a wealth of information, www.life-enthusiast.com, and we were looking through it as we were deciding what we wanted to talk about, and we realized that we may be doing people a little bit of a disservice because we just, you know, think about whatever it is we want to talk about and we talk about it, as opposed to having a plan. And we looked at the health education section and we realized we already had a plan, because if you look on the left-hand side of that page, we've got information about cleansing and nutrition, pH balance, aging issues, exercise, folk remedies, hemp products, minerals. I mean, there. And so for the next year, folks, if you want to know what we're going to be talking about, it's going to be going through that list on the health education, delving into it in a little more detail and talking about how that can impact your health. And one of the things that Martin and I discussed prior to recording this podcast was, if you're looking through that list and you say, oh, I'd really like to know more about vaccinations or holistic healing, which of course, being at V and W, are at the end of the list and a year away, let us know, because we don't mind jumping ahead if we know that people are interested in a particular topic and then getting back into the order. Just because it's alphabetical doesn't mean that's the actual order that we have to do it in. Right, Martin?
Correct. And also, if there is a section that's missing that should be covered in health education because people would like to know, then we can cover it. I'm not a god of health. I have no clue if this curriculum that I've set up covers everything that people are interested in. I'm just doing it because that's what interested me on my journey from sickness to health.
Right, awesome. So I think that one of the keys to this whole process we're going through is that people have to understand that their health is their choice. And our mission really is to help everyone who listens to choose health. And there are four pillars to that, and we'll be talking about these over the next 4 weeks. And the first one is cleansing and detoxifying the body. The second one is proper nutrition. The third one is balancing your body's pH. And the fourth one is enhancing your mind-body connection. In our previous, you know, couple years of podcasting, we've delved into these in various podcasts, but what we want to do now is put together a real ongoing system for everybody to kind of follow and work through their health issues with us.
Yes. I want to really make it clear that I don't feel that it's anybody's fault that they have ended up in undereducated states, or that they have brought the illness upon themselves. Even though if they did, I mean, I might be saying, look, you have caused it yourself through your stupid eating habits and your lack of cleansing and so on. And that's a fact, but I don't mean it in the sense that I want to blame anyone for it. It's that we have not been educated.
That's right.
It's, you know, it's a cultural, societal situation where, you know, I myself, I mean, I grew up in a family. My father's a veterinarian. I'm well versed in the medical issues. My dad is a strong believer in the current medical model where, you know, I grew up in a medical family. My father's a veterinarian, and he is fully invested in the current medical model where he believes that illness is caused externally. You know, that there is a invader of some sort that comes in from outside and causes your illness. And it took me years of my own research to realize that that's really not so. That the, you know, the Louis Pasteur medical model is wrong. The model that does work is the cellular terrain model, where we realize that symptoms of illness rise as the cellular terrain's conditions change, meaning that in a sick cellular terrain, you will get chronic illness, that things like arthritis or cancer or blood pressure problems rise because of the cellular conditions, not because some virus or bacterium invaded you. I bet that's what you were raised thinking too, right?
Absolutely. You gotta keep away from the germs because that's what makes you sick.
Right. And yet, you know, when the polio arrived in the 1950s, some people got sick, but most didn't. How is that possible? If the germ was so powerful, everybody should have got it. You know,
that's
same
right.
thing.
That's right.
Same thing happens with the flu, right? We have the flu epidemic arriving, and people are thinking, oh my God, I'm going to catch the flu. Well, you are going to catch the flu when you are weak, when your immune system is weak. But how come, you know, even in a classroom or in a kindergarten, how come out of the 20 kids or 30 kids in the class, 5 get it or 7 get it, and the other ones don't? I mean, if the illness external invader theory was valid, everybody should get it.
Mm-hmm. So what's the answer then?
Well, the answer is that indeed the germs arrive, and they arrive in waves, but the protection is within you, not without you. It's a strong immune system is the one that is going to keep you healthy. And a toxic body will succumb to illness readily, whereas cleansed body does not. Hence the cleansing being the primary factor. You know, we call it part one, cleansing. We could have called it the most important, start here, is cleansing.
Right. So how does somebody start a cleanse?
Well, first we need to understand what are we toxic with, right? So I just love the proverb that says, if you find yourself in a hole, first stop digging.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, you know, cleansing is getting rid of toxins. Well, the first thing you need to do is stop getting toxic. So you need to give up the activities that toxify you. So in a normal world as we have it, is stop ingesting herbicides and pesticides. How do you do that? Well, stop walking barefoot through a freshly treated lawn that's been just covered in 2,4-D, you know, Agent Orange, defoliants or whatever. Or maybe stop eating produce that has been treated with diazinon, which most of your carrots that you buy in a grocery store have been.
How do you find this sort of thing out? Because I wouldn't have known that there was anything put on my carrots. This, I guess what you're saying is this is why it's important to go with organic foods.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Well, the problem is that the chemical-based agriculture produces chemical-loaded food, which it's a teeny little amount, right?
And right.
In small quantities, it doesn't kill you. But it has a cumulative effect if your body is not able to keep up with it. And that's what happens, you know. A little bit of stuff on the carrot in isolation is okay. A little bit of stuff on lettuce in isolation is okay. A little bit of stuff on your cherries in isolation was okay. And a little bit of stuff on your front lawn in by itself is okay. But you load it all together, and next thing you know, your liver's caving in on you. And so I don't want anyone to be living in fear. I want everyone to be going towards the shining light as opposed to being scared of the darkness. So what am I proposing? Eat organic. Just do it. Just do it. The consumer power is enormous. If we all ask for healthy carrots to be served to us, we will all get healthy carrots. They may cost more, but they will be healthy.
And of course, everyone knows that the more something is produced, the lower the per unit cost is, which is why we've had price reductions in things over the years. And if everyone was using organic processes, then it would probably be a lot cheaper to make organic foods, right?
In general, yes, because if everybody was growing organic, then we would be not having to truck the organic carrots from who knows how far away they are.
That's right. Makes a big difference.
Yes, and also the organic section in the grocery store would be the major section, and it wouldn't be, you know, I was in a grocery store just the other day looking at some green peppers, and the organic green peppers were kind of, not so fresh looking, you know, they had been sitting around too long.
Mm-hmm.
And why were they sitting for too long? Well, because people haven't bought enough of them, and the poor produce manager is just pulling his hair saying, well, I brought these peppers here, and these stupid customers are not buying them, and now I'm going to have to throw out the whole lot, and that makes it more expensive. I don't know if people realize it, but one of the greatest portions of cost of produce is the stuff that's being thrown out at the back of the store.
Right, right. And man, you know, you'd think that they would want to compost all that.
Well, that would be nice, yes. Or at least feed it to some pig farmer.
That's right. Yeah, instead of some of the stuff.
I guess I bet that was a nice slip of the tongue. Feed it to the pigs of some pig farmer.
Yeah, feed it to the pigs, not the pig farmer. That's right. So when you talk about stop digging the hole, one of the things I noticed you haven't talked too much about is all the toxins we may be getting from processed foods, as opposed to, I mean, we talked a bit about just like carrots in our
right,
you know, to me that's a lot better to eat than some of the stuff that's in the cans in the middle of the store.
Oh my gosh, yes, of course. I'm speaking through my own perspective, not realizing that most people are still eating the foods that are actually fully processed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you already know, I hardly ever visit the middle aisles of a grocery store. So okay, folks, you know, crackers, if you read the label on the back of the crackers, and if you're noticing things like sodium benzoate and potassium sorbate and much longer things, carrageenan and this and that, and I don't even remember all these wonderful long words like BHAs and BHTs that help hold the stuff fresher, and all of these other things that are preservatives or emulsifiers or taste enhancers, all of those things are there to make the goods shelf stable for an extended period of time, which is good. It lowers the cost because it doesn't have to be thrown out as quickly. But unfortunately, when you bring that stuff into your body, it does the same thing to your body that it does to the produce.
Or that's the part nobody seems to really get, right?
Yeah. Yeah, if it doesn't spoil within 2 weeks, you shouldn't ingest it in the first place.
That's right. And, of course, we hate the idea of food that has a blemish on it or spoils a little bit, and just don't seem to realize that that's the... That's what makes it good.
Right. Well, I mean, there are ways to preserve things, right? I mean, there is the classic freezing, there is fermentation, and there is drying. I mean, dried food doesn't spoil, and it keeps most of the nutrients intact. Frozen food doesn't spoil and keeps most of the nutrients intact as well.
Right.
So it's just that the processed food that's able to sit in open air, such as the... You know, the crackers that I brought up, you know, if you look at it and the fats have been hydrogenated, you already know that you're going to get trans fats galore in that product. Not a good idea. If Anyway, so enough said on the topic. I believe that what you need to understand is that if there are items on the ingredients list that are not pure food, you have no business eating it.
Right, right. So getting back to our topic today, which is cleansing and detoxifying, we've talked a little bit about, okay, stop making your body more toxic, but say, let's suppose we've stopped digging the hole, how do we get out of the hole?
This is probably going to take 3 or 4 more episodes of the podcast to deal with. There are so many elimination organs in your body, each one of them with specific needs. One of them is skin, the skin. Another one is the liver. Another one is the colon, or the digestive tract directly. Another one is the kidneys. And then, of course, then there's the mucus stuff, like stuff that you can blow out of your nose or other places in your body, right?
Right.
So we could spend 20 minutes talking about each one of those, I'm sure. And I think we probably will. So in general, it's really useful for all of us to keep our colon healthy. That's the major, that's the primary. In fact, there are books out there that talk about colon management or how to achieve health through colon management. That's my most favorite book I've read on the topic, written by Bernard Jensen back in the 1980s, with glorious illustrations where he shows all the stuff that he was able to get out of people's colons. The mucoid plaque that looks like somebody gave birth to a snake.
That's a good image, Martin. Yeah, I got that one.
Oh yeah, totally. It's this black goo that coats the inside of the colon that just remains there until it's expelled. In fact, I recall that in that book he quotes that when John Wayne died, they cut his colon open and they found that there was 20 pounds of putrefied matter in his colon alone.
Wow. That's amazing.
Poor fellow. Yeah, he was carrying it around, and you could see it. There was this very large gut sticking out in front of the body.
Right, right.
And you see that on many people. It's that hard, extended or extruded belly that's sticking out. That usually is an indication of a very full colon that's enlarged from what it should be.
And people don't realize that that's not healthy.
No. Yeah, they're thinking, I got a bit of a belly, but what the heck, right?
Yeah. It's not that you have a bit of a belly, it's you've got a big belly.
Yeah, well, it's like you should check your eyes because they might be turning brown because you're so full of it.
And you're being nice when you say that, right? It's like...
Oh, yeah, well, it's that. So as far as the specific techniques and how to do it, I think we need to focus each one of those body parts with a specific podcast. All I want to say is this: a vibrant, disease-free body is based on a non-toxic cellular tissue. So we need to find ways to cleanse it. There must be absence of toxins, or else you're going to develop illness.
Mm-hmm. And that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line, yeah. Because we are not biologically adapted to ingesting chemicals. When we evolved as a species, we did not evolve in a chemical factory, and we did not evolve in a food processing factory.
That's right.
There are two basic body types. One is called the fast oxidizer, and the other one slow oxidizer. They're also, to give you an example of a fast oxidizer, it would be a hunter-gatherer, typically an Eskimo or a Native American, or there are many people with that. Most of them have blood type O, and they are perfectly suited to eating protein-rich food, whether it's you know, hemp protein or meats, that's fine. You know, they're completely well adapted to eating proteins as their major source of nutrition and energy. The other type, the slow oxidizer, they can eat reasonably well even on a diet of dates and figs and other fairly rich, sugar-rich foods. And they come from the you know, the Arabic Mediterranean racial backgrounds, the Jewish people, and those types,
right.
blood types A and B, and they don't do well on meats at all. In fact, you know, those biblical commandments, it has been actually written up in the old biblical literature. You know, the rules that are issued to the Jewish people, where they should be not eating pigs or shellfish or things like that.
Right.
These are actually now supported by scientific research. Most Jewish people are blood type B, and the lectins that they are having to deal with indeed are incompatible with digesting shellfish and pigs. So most of blood type B people are okay with having a somewhat high carbohydrate intake and don't do too well on having too much meat. Whereas the other ones, the blood type A, they are doing well with meat and they're doing terrible on bread. That's why these diets work for some people and not for others.
Right, because of all the different... Yeah, so people have to look at what's best for them.
Right, like, you know, the Atkins diet, which is the body type of the fast oxidizer, works for fast oxidizers. It just completely destroys a slow oxidizer. And vice versa. If you're blood type A or B or AB, you would be well advised to not try and do the Atkins diet. It's going to just about destroy it. Anyway, so the point of what I'm trying to describe is that we need to eat correctly to what our body is telling us. And where this comes from is this biological adaptation. Not fast oxidizer or slow oxidizer is adapted to eating sodium benzoate or carrageenan or margarine. You know, all of that is factory-made chemical that just does not belong into a human body. It just doesn't. So, start with organic, and let's see if your liver, just by itself, will have enough spare capacity to start detoxifying it. Let's see if you stop loading your kidneys with all excess chemicals, such as soda drinks and excess alcohol or too much coffee, and if the kidneys are going to be able to filter out the toxins that it's supposed to do and start getting your body cleaner just by lowering the toxic load. One of the worst things that you can do is ingest artificial sweeteners. They, you know, the diet drinks.
Yeah, with the aspartame and stuff.
Yeah, with the aspartame and Splenda and sucralose and sweet and low and whatever they are. All of this stuff just puts an enormous load on your detoxification system and poisons you just terribly. The word diet just drop the T and there you have it. Or just make it into the symbol of the cross.
Right.
Anyway, I don't want to go on a rant here, because we have an entire section about aspartame that we'll cover in a while, but all I want to say is this: treat your body to the type of nutrients that it's supposed to eat that are found in nature. You are not adapted to living off of the products of the chemical factories, period.
Yeah, and that's kind of the bottom line on that. And if someone starts getting their liver working better, or they're getting their colon working better, what are some of the things that they'll notice?
Well, if you do it too quick, you're going to end up in a bit of a cleansing crisis or cleansing reaction. Too much of a good thing. So, for instance, you know, you can end up with skin breakouts. Too much cleansing all at once pushes too many toxins out, and the body starts pushing it through the skin. So if you're getting acne, you're already congested to the point where you have to cleanse your liver. If you just started living a healthier life and you get skin breakouts, that's because your body's just cleansing quicker than it's able to handle. Some other symptoms that you might get is a diarrhea. You might get headaches from released toxins. Especially, you know, if this happens to people who go off coffee or even cigarettes. When you stop drinking coffee, you have 3 or 4 days of headaches that are quite common.
So those are some of the things people could expect.
Yeah, the first few days after you switch to a healthy lifestyle might be pretty bad. It's sort of like going cold turkey from being a heroin or a cocaine addict. You know, the first few days are just atrocious for them. Well, it's sort of like that. Not quite as bad, but like that for any toxin eater. After that, you're going to start experiencing things like energy, you know, lots of energy, or waking up with joyful thoughts in the morning. You know, a typical congested, toxic body wakes up in the morning depressed. Well, you know, depressed thoughts and negative thoughts and toxic, acidic thoughts, all of that, as opposed to joyful, alkaline thoughts.
Right, right.
And we'll get to that in the pH balancing section quite a bit more. I'm of the opinion that most of the depression that's caused out or that's experienced by people is actually toxicity caused. You know, if you cleanse and nourish the body better, you probably get rid of most of the depression and manic thoughts and all of that other stuff that comes with the mental illness, quote unquote, territory. It's really not as much of a mental illness, it's a poisoning of the body.
Interesting.
But who will believe me, right?
Well, I guess it's the science in our scientific community, or the scientists in our scientific community would say, let's get a bunch of people and let's do a double-blind study and let's see. And I find it fascinating that nobody bothers.
Well, it's really hard because we have this strange experiments, you know, it's a social experiment or clinical experiment where everybody in the Western society is eating badly, you know, eating fast foods and industrial produced foods and all of that. And the results are just in our face. I mean, the rate of chronic degenerative illness is rising at rates that are just phenomenal. You know, the percentage of people who are dying of cancer is rising. The percentage of people who have heart disease is on the rise, and so on, right?
Yeah.
All of this degenerative disease is just, I don't know how to say it.
Off the charts, on the increase. Yeah, that's another way of putting it.
And yet, we can't seem to be connecting it back to the lifestyle. We're chasing after new drugs that are going to block the symptoms. They're going to help us stop feeling what we're feeling or stop our cells doing what they're doing, what they are designed to do.
Right.
Essentially, they're trying to cope with this toxic environment that you have created. So detoxify and become free of disease.
There you go.
Arthritis, just as an example, which is an inflammation in the joints, is most likely caused by the pH balance of your lymphatic system. If you can get the pH back into the right range through elimination of toxins, you will eliminate. So what I'm trying to express here is that when you live a lifestyle that's less toxic, you can expect fewer degenerative illnesses to rise in your body.
Which makes total sense.
Right. And yet, nowhere on television, in these news where these nutritionists step up, do they say, oh, by the way, you're digging your grave with your teeth.
Right.
Of course, why? Because the advertiser on the television channel is a taco vendor or a burger vendor or a drug producer.
Not
one of them is interested in telling them, by the way, my products are killing you.
Well, I could understand why they wouldn't want to say that.
Exactly. I can understand that too. And unfortunately, this entire experiment, and this is where I need to go back to the beginning of what I started saying. As I was saying, I'm not blaming anyone for creating an illness in their body through their behavior. It's cultural. They were taught by their mother and father and grandfather and classmates and everybody else to behave the way we behave. This is probably the first or second generation educated by television.
That's right.
We have been educated into a certain lifestyle. That lifestyle has been shaped by the advertisers and the power of the advertisers. And the bigger the advertiser, the more power they have to do what they do. This is the rise of the food chains, the rise of the fast food lifestyle, the rise of the mass consumerism. Well, it turns out, I believe, that this experiment is flawed. We need to somehow find a way to get through to people, to get individually liberated and educated and change. Do what works and stop doing what does not work. If you want results other than what you're getting, you have to change the behavior. There's just no question about it. So if your body is polluted and toxic, you have to stop doing what you've always done and start doing things differently.
And I think it's important that people realize that their bodies are polluted and toxic. I think sometimes we just don't know or don't care, right?
Well, we don't even recognize it, yes. I mean, I remember I was a 15-year-old and I started getting dandruff, you know?
Yep.
Well, dandruff is actually fully understood. It's the oxidative damage in the top of your head. Mm-hmm. It's the deficiency of essential fatty acids, deficiency in vitamin E, A, a deficiency in selenium. Simple. If I had known that and supplemented with that, I wouldn't have had dandruff. But no, instead I was just using a famous shampoo that reduces the dandruff.
Right. Probably didn't do that good a job either.
Well, it did it. I mean, it worked. I stopped having dandruff on the shirt. But anyway, I still was continuing to have that deficiency. It's just that I managed to turn off the signaling system. Hmm. Another one, acne on people's faces. That's caused by liver congestion and hormonal problems and unhealth in the colon.
Right.
So, what do we do? Apply chemicals to the face or change the way we eat?
Well, it looks like what we have to do is cleanse and detoxify. Stop digging the hole and then start filling it in with good stuff.
That's the statement I'd like to close out with. Folks, this is Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. You can reach us by telephone at 1-866-543-3388 and on the internet at www.life-enthusiast.com. And these podcasts are published at lifeenthusiast.podomatic.com. Thank you so much for listening.